Well, on this Friday afternoon, it is the second day of August. Time to check the futures markets from the great state of Kansas and Atchison. On the phone line with us, Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
You know, the market continues to break just a bit for both corn and soybeans. Kind of a rough day today in Chicago if you wanted things to go higher. What was behind the move lower?
I think today specifically was a meal-led decline, Todd. We saw a very big break in the August meal contract. That market in delivery, even though we saw zero deliveries, we also saw some weakening basis at midday for the spot meal. Demand side seems to be pulling away in the last week now that we're in delivery. And we essentially saw the August meal with almost a $31 a ton range, a 7% move today between the high and the low. So with that August meal going almost 4%, 3 to 4% lower on the close, I think that triggered the August beans, which in turn triggered the September corn to go lower. And I think that's probably the biggest reasons why we saw the bear spread really kick in for both the beans and the corn.
As you mentioned, there was a pretty wide range today for the bean meal from top to bottom. Why did they push it higher to begin with, and what was it that managed to take things lower? Is it just somebody got caught as we moved through the process, or what happened, do you think?
I do think in the meal, the talk in Chicago was the demand didn't show up. I think the talk in the Chicago was that while the wheat was playing more of a demand market, not just today, but also for most of the week, the talk in Chicago continues to be the beans and the corn feeling more supply and weather pressure. And specifically this morning, it seemed as though the rainfall overnight missed areas that were supposed to get rain. That triggered the higher bean market opening, with November being the key market going higher. And then by midday, colleagues in Chicago were telling me that with rain showing up in northwestern Iowa, that pulled all the longs out of the beans, and the selling began at that point.
No, it's always a long time from midsummer to harvest, maybe a bit longer this year than usual. What do you see in the way of prospects for a move higher?
I think the prospects have improved this week because I don't think that the rain models and the forecasts matched up with what we actually got. The government came out with their updated drought assessment. We increased our abnormally dry conditions in the state of Iowa last week by 7%. We're now at over 70% abnormally dry for that state. Minnesota also increased, and you and I talked about not just the meal deliveries, but also what we would be looking for in terms of crop conditions on Monday when we spoke a week ago, and those crop conditions went lower in some key states. And so when I look at 13.5 million acres harvested in Iowa of 89 million total, that's 15% of the total acreage. You throw in there Illinois, Nebraska, and Minnesota, you're talking about 43.5 million acres. That's about 50% of the crop, I think, actually went downhill this week. And some of the Illinois clients that I spoke with, especially in north central Illinois, were really looking for some rains and so far haven't gotten those rains. And so I think, generally speaking, when I look at the weather maps, when I look at the July precip totals versus the five-year mean, when I look at the drought monitor, and probably most importantly to the near term is when you see the cash basis for corn jumping today like it did, and we've essentially in some locations gotten back about half the losses from last week when it comes to spot basis for corn, you're back to a $6.50 cash price in corn right now. So you've got a $2 disparity essentially between corn right now and corn in October, and I sit and listen to my clients tell me they're not going to have hardly any corn ready to shell by the time they get to September, that it's going to be a later crop, it's going to be October, and with all the fungicide applied probably even into mid-October before you can really put new crop supplies on the market. So I think on a week-by-week basis, although the charts look pretty torn up at this point, I think the fundamentals have actually gotten better in terms of a price recovery.
So do you think that means, Mike, that there's an opportunity for new crop to be pulled higher by old crop and a pricing opportunity then, or is it just, in your mind, the laying of the groundwork for a larger move higher?
No, I think it's the former. I think it's the first, because there's a very large gap on the daily continuation corn chart, Todd, and you fill that gap around the 625, 650, 670 area, it would make sense to me that you would need to pull up the new crop. The early new crop corn, I think, is way too cheap, and I think this is why the end users are coming in and bringing back the basis so dramatically, not just because futures has fallen, but I think they see the writing on the wall. There's not going to be a lot of new crop corn coming. Ethanol production went down pretty substantially. That, I think, is a lot like the NOPA crush, where you just don't have the corn out there. We're still running at about 32% less corn supplies on our weekly stocks report than we had a year ago. So I do think that the cash market and the spreads do come in. That was probably the most disturbing thing to me on the market today, was why the September corn had to fall and fell so hard against what the cash market and the spot basis was doing, and that's where I lay it at the feet of the meal market. I think essentially the corn market, that's had its weather premium taken out. Beans had began to see their weather premium taken out this week, and so the corn is kind of held hostage by the beans at this point.
Have we reached the bottom side then for the corn?
I think we will by the time we get to the September delivery. I think that's where everything comes back together. As much like the August meal delivery, the September delivery and the September corn going into the cash contract, get us past the August report, have the biggest crop I think that we could get based, built into the price, already priced in by the time we get to September delivery.
All right. And so somewhere between now and then, we reach a low, and then we run out of corn, old crop probably, at some point, and that's where we get the bite higher, right?
Yeah, and I think this is where maybe the wheat is turning the corner, with France about 30% harvested and still maybe under some harvest pressure and supply pressure. Maybe we saw a week this week of a higher wheat close, that the demand side starting to come back in the wheat. I think 30, 45 days down the road after we get past the weather supply side bearishness on the row crops, maybe they start to look at the good weekly export sales and the good interior demand and the ethanol crush as well in the futures market. This is where we're back to a cash futures disconnect, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that the International Grains Council cut the world corn market today?
I did.
Yeah. So what did you think of that?
I think that's fine as far as the world numbers go. I think they're probably injecting mostly increased U.S. supplies into those world numbers. I think this is where it goes back to. In May of this year, we saw the USDA with a global wheat ending stock number of 180 million tons. We've trimmed that to 172. That's about 8 million tons, or about 290 million bushels, or about a 4.5% cut. So I think the world numbers in the corn and in the beans will start to, especially the corn, will start to come down after we get past the harvest. And that essentially the corn is playing a repetitive game, or the same type of game as the wheat was earlier this year.
Anything to add on the livestock before I let you go?
We saw the hog market come back nicely on the demand side. We also saw the cattle numbers in the slaughter figures drop substantially this week. So that'll be interesting to see if that becomes our trend and if we work through the biggest numbers of cattle as we head into the end of the summer.
Have a good weekend there in Kansas. Hey, what's the city look like, by the way?
It is very hilly. If you can picture a river town like on the Mississippi or on the Ohio, it's extremely hilly.
All right. Sounds like, what, Meridosha, maybe Illinois. I don't know whether you've been through there
or not.
Yeah,
exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly.
Oh, beautiful. Fantastic.
Okay,
enjoy
sir.
It. Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity and Analytics out in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for a Friday afternoon.